In the name of the Triune God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our beloved, dear Heavenly Father, we have come before your holy face at this moment. So we pray unto you that you would grant us open ears and an open heart to receive that message that you will grant us this day. As we come before you this morning, dear Father, we come from many different situations in life, many joys, but also many sorrows. Dear Father, you have granted us many brothers and sisters in faith along our journey to help us and to guide us. We have these precious escorts so close to us, but it is not always so. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we wish to especially remember those who are not as fortunate as we are today, those who are in a lonely and windy place of watching, those that are serving this country for our behalf. Remember them. Bless them, uplift them, and comfort them, and grant them reasons for joy in their walk of faith. As we begin these services, dear Father, our humble prayer unto you is that you would grant us the proper words, the proper understanding, so that we may grow thereby. And as the psalm writer has written, we pray unto you, dear Father, that though here I weep and sigh, a beggar standing by, I would rather suffer lowly within the temple holy than there receiving treasures in sin and worldly pleasures. O Lord, our shield and sun, through you is glory won. You never will forsake us. To heaven you will take us. When on your way we tarry, to victory you will carry. Amen. For our text this morning, I thought I would read God's Word as it is recorded in Psalms 84. I will read the first five verses. Or actually, I will read the entire 12 verses of this psalm. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord! My soul longeth, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it well the rain and filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For the day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Amen. I come before you this morning, and it feels like I have nothing to say. Can I believe my many sins and doubts forgiven? So many times it gives us even a moment of rest when we hear the word of the gospel. So this morning, as we are beginning, maybe you find yourself as sinful as I do. So right in the beginning, dear brothers and sisters, you can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. With that prayer that God will give the correct words and understanding, we will attempt to go through this portion that we read, which, as you heard, was from the book of Psalms. And I believe that this psalm is written by the children of Korah. And the psalm writer here cries out in the very beginning that how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. And for you, especially you younger ones that are here, you heard two words that you don't hear very often and maybe not understand what those words mean. And that would be the word amiable and tabernacle. How amiable are thy tabernacles? Amiable means that something is very pleasant or delightful, something that feels good it's sweet and good in every way. And the tabernacle that they refer to here, I believe that it is a dwelling place, a place where you can gather, where children of God are gathered. So if you remember when the children of Israel, in their wilderness journey, they built and they had this tabernacle in their midst. And as they moved, sometimes every day, sometimes they stayed a little bit longer before they continued their journey. The tabernacle came with them, and it moved from place to place as they journeyed. This place that we are gathered now, this morning, this is what we could say is Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Because the children of God are here. But we will not be here continuously. When these services are done, this building will be empty. And we will go home, or we will go to visit someone, or wherever we go. Wherever we do go, it follows with us from place to place. Just like the children of Israel, it followed them from place to place. The scriptures say that wherever two or more are gathered, that God is there with them. Meaning that the correct teaching and understanding will be there. That is the prayer that we have this morning, that God is here to grant us that correct understanding. So the psalm writer, we could ask that what was it that made the psalm writer cry out in the very beginning that how amiable are Thy tabernacles of hosts, O Lord of hosts. The children of Korah, they experienced something that was absolutely, it was difficult for their eyes and for their mind to understand what had happened. Their fathers, they had gone into heresy, and the ground opened up and it swallowed them alive into the earth, and they were no longer there. The children of Korah, they continued and endeavored to be obedient to God's word, and they were spared because God was with them. Everyone is spared from wickedness and sin when they put their trust and reliance on God. No one is, it's very comforting to think that God has never led anyone astray. He has never led anyone into sin. That's why it is so important that when we endeavor in our journey of faith, that we would depend and adhere to the word and instructions of God. Because that's in the changing world around us. God never changes. And He never leads you to the place of the wicked. So, this tabernacle or the dwelling place of the Lord of hosts is a place where God is. So we could also ask that, where is God? The scriptures teach us that God is among His own in His kingdom. And there are only two kingdoms. The kingdom of the enemy of the soul. And then we have the kingdom of God, wherein we dwell, the children of God today. And as we mentioned in our opening prayer, we that are in this area, God has certainly blessed us with brothers and sisters in faith that are very close to us, distance-wise. This is something that we many times we take for granted, and we don't realize what it would be like if we were here alone, thousands of miles to the next believer. We wouldn't be able to go and visit and talk about the difficulties of life, difficulties of living faith that we struggle with from time to time with other believers. So when we look at it in this light, we have been blessed beyond measure, we that are in this area. We are very fortunate. Now, we that are in this tabernacle of the Lord of hosts, to us, it does look and feel like it is a perfect place. It is a beautiful place. It's a safe place. In our last Bible class, it was very heartwarming to hear a story related by one who had been converted from the world. And they said that when they had found God's kingdom, how it was so precious to them that when they talk to those that are on the outside of God's kingdom, of course, he felt that you can see and feel exactly the same thing that I can feel because my sins are forgiven. They are no longer remembered. And he was taken aback because they couldn't see what he saw. This is how it is for us. The kingdom of God does not look grandiose or something very beautiful when you are on the outside. But when we are on the inside, is there any better place? Would there be a safer place to be than where we are? There would be not. Where would we go? We would search for peace and true joy until the end of our lives, and we would still be searching. But when we are here, when we endeavor to put sins away, isn't it so that we would say that we are completely at peace here in God's kingdom? This is a beautiful place. And we would say, like this psalm writer says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." "My soul longeth, yea, even fainted, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." The sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. No, it's a very beautiful verse. And there are many verses, there are portions in the Bible that are especially, it seems like they are made for us, for me. Some portions speak more to you than other portions. But I think, and for that reason, that they are maybe easily understood by me. I think this portion, this third verse that we heard, is one of those verses that are fairly easy to understand, because it paints a simple but yet a very comforting picture. Jesus, very often, he spoke in parables when he spoke in the New Testament time. And he brought his teaching to them in before them in such a way that they would be able to relate to that from the things in their everyday life. And sometimes there are portions here in the Old Testament where this psalm is from, that many of those are also in the Old Testament. The Bible speaks of the kingdom of God in many different ways. It calls them different things. Sometimes it's referred to as a boat that's in the water, in the stormy water, which would picture the world around us, and a boat that is crossing from one shore to another shore. This is the travel that we are taking part of at this time. We are in this boat on our way to the other side, to the shores, where we can safely ascend to. The psalm writer, in I believe it is in Psalms 23, it speaks of the green pastures. Kingdom of God is a place of green pastures where we can be fed and where the dew and when the rain and the sunshine is just perfectly made for us. In the New Testament, the kingdom of God also is referred to as the golden candlestick, something that is perfect, something where no impurities are found. Now, when we think of that, dear brothers, dear sisters, and we place ourselves, we are dwelling in God's kingdom. Isn't it so that it seems that we find nothing but not so good things about ourselves? But we are made perfect not by what we do, but upon what we believe in. God makes us perfect before Him when we put our sins away. This portion of scriptures, the psalm writer has seen how the birds that God has created, he has been watching the birds in his life. We have all seen birds, even you little boys and girls, you have seen birds. And sometimes if there is a branch that is right next to you, maybe on the other side of the window, or maybe you are sitting down and a bird comes to that branch, they are fascinating to watch. And as you grow older and you get to be about my age or even much older, I have to tell you that you never get tired of watching these little birds. And you wonder that how can they survive? There are many that say that God did not create all those things. It is amazing to see the nature, how it is. Right now we are about to enter spring season, and we can see how the season is changing from winter to spring. Everything works in perfect harmony. These little birds that are so small, God takes care of them also. And one very interesting way to look at God's creation is I read not too long ago of these little hummingbirds, which are the smallest birds that there is. There was something very fascinating and something that I thought that the creation of God is amazing. And God has thought about everything. Hummingbird is a very, very small bird, and their stomachs are even smaller. And during the day, when they are flying in search of food and water, their metabolism is, well, it is normal to what it is supposed to be to a hummingbird. And if that metabolism continues throughout the night when they are sleeping, they would be dead in the morning. But their metabolism slows down so that they can be sustained overnight while they are sleeping and not looking for food. And I thought when I read that how can anyone dispute that God has created a perfect creation? He has seen to everything so that life can continue and going forward, even these little small birds that our text speaks of, the sparrow and the swallow. Here it says that the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. This mama bird makes this nest where she can protect the eggs of those little baby birds that are to come. And as you have seen, many of these nests that the birds are building, they are under some type of a awning or a shelter or a shield, something that shields them from the weather outside, maybe under some big branches even, that would protect them as much as possible from the storms and the predators that are out there. This nest that our psalm writer speaks of is the nest that we are in when we are in God's kingdom. God's shielding hand is above us to shield His congregation, to shield us very personally and individually, so that we can continue in faith. Nature teaches us so much about God's creation, but yet, well, I think there is a song. There might be more than one song in our songbook that speaks about the birds. How they reap not, they sow not, they gather no food for tomorrow. But what they need for that moment, for that time, God gives to them. When the children of Israel were on their wilderness journey, they could not gather food for tomorrow. But the manna that fell was for that instant, for that time, for that moment when they needed it. Now if we would follow that thought, it was not easy for them to trust that what God would continue to not only feed them so that their stomachs would be full, but also that God would continue to take care of them when they were in the wilderness. I think it's the same with us today. I don't think there is one here that can say that I have always had great confidence in God, because our understanding it comes in the way, makes us wonder, that is it really so? This is nothing new. Dear brother and dear sister, you are not unique in this way that you have these doubts. We heard not long ago in the Garden of Eden, when the devil tempted Eve, is it really so? Did God really say? And Eve, she fell into sin. And her husband, Adam, fell into sin. It's also important to remember that we don't freely and willingly fall into sin, but that our hearts would be tender, and it would be, sin would be a foreign object, a matter in our hearts, and we want to move that away from there. We can't take that sin ourselves and place it in some other place. We need God's help. God needs to remove that from us. God has given, as we mentioned earlier, all these precious escorts that we have in our area. Our families, where we can take care of these matters between one another. And through the power of the gospel and the Spirit of God, these are cared for. It cannot be cared for in any other way but with the Spirit of God. This gift that you have, it is such a great gift that we cannot begin to understand just how important it is. It is maybe a little easier as time goes on and you grow not only physically but also in faith, that we realize just how great this gift is and just how much God has blessed us. Now, we cannot fully understand that ever. But for you youth that are here, I remember from my youth when the speaker brother so many times said that you youth are on the front lines of God's kingdom. The first ones that the enemy wishes to take away. I couldn't understand it completely, and I still can't completely, but for the most part, you are more targeted by the enemy of souls. And in this changing time that we live in, there are so many different ways that the enemy wishes to pull you to the outside than there was when I was young. And there are many of you older ones here, grandmothers, grandfathers. You have lived many, many decades. And in your childhood, there were even less ways than there are today that would entice children of God into unbelief. But regardless of the ways, some ways are more sly than others. The end result of both is the same. if we would give in to that and we would forsake our faith and we would go to the outside of God's kingdom. Now imagine this nest that the birds have built. Where is the safest place to be when you are in that nest? If you were in a boat, is the safest place right on the edge where you get splashed? Is the safest place to be on the edge of that nest? That's a dangerous place. We don't want to begin to look to the outside. But there is no better place to look to the outside than if we are on the edge. It would take very little for that little bird to fall down if they are teetering right on the edge of that nest. And if they would fall down, what would happen? We would be removed from the protection of God. We would be removed from the guidance of God. But if you have ever seen little birds that have fallen, that have gotten so curious that they have fallen down from the nest and they are on the ground, what have you seen? We can see that the mother and the father, they are continuously going in between the fallen bird on the ground and the nest, as if to tell them that this is where you belong. This is where you came from, and we want you to return to this nest. Isn't it the same, you parents that have unbelieving children? They know that you have tried to teach them what is right, to teach them where you want them to be, to teach them where they belong. This bird that is now on the ground is very susceptible, is very easily targeted with the predators, that they die from that, or the sun may dry them out so that they will no longer be alive. And it is our prayer, our sincere hope, that we that have unbelieving siblings, parents or children, maybe some of our dear friends, close friends even, that are on the outside. Our prayer is that the sun does not dry them out so that they cannot remember where they came from and where they belong. When they have left the kingdom of God, they are spiritually dead. But it is a comfort for us to remember the saying that where there is life, there is hope. I believe that the hope of them ever returning back to God's kingdom is possibly the last hope that would leave us. We always have this glimmer of hope that they would come back to the kingdom of God. May we never be old enough to try our own wings and fly away from that nest, only to realize that I am so little, I can't fly. We have many times heard in sermons how we are reminded to always remain in the place of a child, this little child. This portion of scriptures that we read reminds us to always be in the place of that little bird, to stay in the nest, which is warm, it's secure, it's shielded. And we that are in this nest, we are fed by God every day. What we need is given by the mother of that bird. The mother congregation gives us that food that we need today. It always has given us the adequate food, the right kind of food, and the right amount of food. There are times when you feel that you are especially hungry, or that you need this food over and over again. It has never been denied. It has always been given. And when you have received this food, would we not say, as the psalm writer here says, when he opened this chapter, that how amiable are thy tabernacles of Lord. Blessed are they that dwell in the house, in thy house, they will be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Isn't the kingdom of God a safe place to be? It's a warm, secure place where we can be free. We can be here with great joy and great security. The children of God, we are fortunate because we are traveling toward heaven, to everlasting life, where there is no more doubts, no pain, no suffering. We don't have to wonder about anything anymore. Any questions that we have while we are here, they will be answered unto us. So the Bible says. We need to complete this journey that we have begun unto the very end. Apostle Paul likened his journey of faith to a race, and toward the end of his life, he says that he has completed his race. But it is important to note that this race, even in a physical race, no one will be stopped in the middle of the race and said, "You have ran so well and so fast, And you have been such an example to all those other ones that are running with you, that we will give you the prize right now, before you even cross the finish line. No one has been crowned or prized until they cross the finish line. So it is also with us. We need to continue and complete this begun race in our begun faith. One time it will end, and there we will receive a crown of glory. And we can also say, like Apostle Paul, that I have ran a good race. But we need to continue to believe until the very end. So dear brother, dear sister, maybe there is one that feel that you have been searching for the very edges of God's kingdom and find yourself on the very edge of that nest. God wants to pull you back to the very middle. And maybe you have had great doubts and feel that you are a great sinner. God has not forgotten you. Uplift your heart and believe. All your sins, all your doubts, all your faults forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Let us always remain in God's kingdom. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine appointment. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. In Jesus' name, Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.